runners. I'm your host, Finn Melanson, and this is the Run to the Top podcast, the podcast dedicated to making you a better runner with each and every episode. We are created and produced by the expert team of coaches here at runnersconnect.net, where you can find the best running information on the internet, as well as training plans to fit every runner and every budget. When it comes to executing workouts, understanding aspects like pace, distance, and duration might already be at the top of your mind. But how much thought have you given to the importance of the rest intervals in your workouts? Can you distinguish between what you need for something like a neuromuscular-based workout versus the rest you might need for threshold intervals? Come to think of it, you might have other questions too. Like, on those days where things aren't clicking, when does it make the most sense to stop a workout? And if so, when is it prudent to move it to the next day? Well, this is another episode of the Run to the Top with Runners Connect coaches Dylan Bellis and Rory Moynihan, who discuss the appropriate rest intervals and rest paces associated with five intensities: neuromuscular, speed work below 3K, speed work below 10K, threshold intervals, and tempo runs. They also address those questions I mentioned about when you should stop a workout and whether you should consider moving those missed workouts to another day. With that, let's tune in to hear their discussion about rest intervals during workouts. If you're looking for better and safer headphones while you run, then you need to check out Oladance. Their open ear design delivers premium sound while still allowing you to hear your surroundings to stay safe. I'll tell you more about them later in the episode, but if you're looking for a great Christmas or New Year's gift for the runner in your family, head to oladance.com/RTTT. This podcast is also brought to you by MetPro, world-renowned concierge nutrition, fitness, and lifestyle coaching company. Using metabolic profiling, the MetPro team of experts analyzes your metabolism and provides an individualized approach to obtaining your goals. Run to the Top listeners receive a complimentary metabolic profiling assessment and a 30-minute consultation with a MetPro expert. To claim this offer, head to metpro.co/RTTT.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to UpTempo Talks. This is Coach Dylan Bellis.
This is Coach Rory Moynihan.
And today we're going to talk to you about recovery, and specifically the recovery between your interval sessions and your workouts, and how long, what type of recovery this should be, whether that's walking, jogging, running at a certain pace, and how we can manipulate this to ultimately achieve the right goal or purpose of the day. So, Rory, when you're heading into a workout, tell us, what is the first thing that we should always know while, you know, before we actually begin the workout itself?
Yeah, you got to know the purpose of the workout. So typically, if you have a coach or maybe you're training yourself, you need to know why you're doing that. Those set intervals, for example. So for instance, we may have athletes who are doing 400s and 800s, and speed days can be kind of fun because you want to go fast and hit those times. But sometimes our athletes will overemphasize the speed. They'll go too fast during the harder portion, and they'll just take a lot of time for rest. So for instance, if you're doing 800 reps and you're really gunning the 800s and giving yourself, say, 3 minutes of standing or walking rest, if your focus is the 5K, you're not necessarily training the system as specifically as you could be.
Sure. Yeah. So number one thing is to know why you're doing something, right? Again, being that most of our clients are athletes are online, right? Mm-hmm. So given that we don't actually always know what they're doing between the harder portions of the workouts, right? So we see their splits, they tell us how it went, but we don't know if they're just standing around, they're fiddling with their phones, you know, we don't actually get the full picture of it. So it's important for us to put that out there so that when we're talking with our athletes, they know exactly what to do and when to do it and how to do it.
And it could also come back on the coaches too, because sometimes I think we're not as descriptive.
Yeah.
Just say recovery 90 seconds.
Right.
And we could point out what that is, especially early on in training.
Exactly. Yeah. If I was to go back, you know, when I first started running, I had no clue. You know, I think we all were trying to run as fast as we could and then just stand around and we can next rep, right? I can very vividly remember one of my very first workouts that I ever did. And it was just a set of 800s. I think we did four or five of them. And what would happen is we would run as hard as we can. We would lay on the ground, just huffing and puffing. And then we try to muster up energy to repeat that process. And, you know, looking back, it's probably not the smartest thing.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. So anyways, so we're going to talk to you about a few key paces, intensities that we're going to talk about the recoveries between and how exactly we would want to see those recoveries being focused on and how those can adapt. These five paces, intensities are going to be neuromuscular work. Okay, that's number one. Second one is going to be speed work. So in our idea of speed work, this is going to be anywhere from the anaerobic endurance side of things, so like 800, to all the way up to your true VO2 max, which will typically be between 6 and 10 minutes for a true VO2. The next one will be aerobic power, critical velocity type of pace work. This is typically designated to 5K to 10K work a lot of times. Again, the designation of what we call it changes on how fast you're running, of course. So keep that in mind. And the last two would be threshold running. So anaerobic threshold and your tempo pace. So for us, this will be, you know, anywhere from like half marathon to marathon type of pace work. Cool. So Rory, you want to kick us off with the first type of training. And so this is going to be our fastest type of training that we do. Can you give us a brief explanation of that type of work and what it consists of and how we can manipulate the recoveries?
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. So when we're talking about neuromuscular work, we're going to be talking about those really fast, intense speed intervals. If you're a member of Runners Connect, what we really emphasize and other programs do as well would be strides where you're doing this and then uphill sprints. So in this case, if you're talking about the rest period, there's some workouts that we assign. I know you've done this where you do as short as 6 second sprint intervals up a hill.
Yes.
Now those are very intense. It sounds short, but it really adds up. If you do a few of those, you would actually want a 1-to-10 ratio for rest. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at 60 seconds just to recover from that.
Right.
So in these more intensive scenarios, this would be a case where you might want to have a standing recovery.
Yeah. And what's really important to note here with the neuromuscular work too, is that you might feel as though you're completely recovered, right?
That's true.
We can all sprint up a hill for 6 to 10 seconds, walk back down and feel as though we're ready to go. And a lot of times we are, but we're not really working the aerobic component of it, right? We're really trying to cut a little bit deeper there, you know, work the nervous system in a way that helps us create a better engagement. So to be able to hit these faster type of work and really get the most out of it, a high amount of recovery is required. Did your college have a track program like sprinters at all?
You did. Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
you're pretty good.
Yeah. So if you're familiar with, you know, with athletes who are running the 100, 200, 400, there's a lot of workouts that from a distance runner's perspective, you would think, oh man, they didn't really do anything today. But it's incredibly demanding, taxing, and they're doing a lot of this neuromuscular work because it's very explosive, very fast acting energy system. So again, as distance runners, we can still apply it.
Right.
Cool.
Now, in terms of the hills, because I know that's something you do.
Yes.
Are you walking down the hill for that recovery? Does it vary?
So it will vary. I'll run that hill really fast, mm-hmm. as hard as I can, up a good grade. And then I'll take a couple seconds, kind of jog down. And then from there, I'm just kind of walking, kind of getting myself composed and getting ready to really be fully engaged and working as hard as I can up that hill again. So a lot of times it will be standing, but I'll kind of let the momentum of the hill just kind of drag me down. But the goal there is really just to make sure that you're recovered. We don't want to go and run for 60 seconds.
Oh, yeah, no. Of course.
Yeah.
So you want to take us to the next category?
Yeah. So the next category, again, we're gonna call this anywhere from like the anaerobic endurance, so all the way to VO2. So anywhere from like 800 meter pace to around your 3K pace, 2 mile pace for most runners. Again, a lot of variability between the speed and the time it takes and what we're categorizing these as. Okay. So typically for this type of work, I recommend, and again, we're really focusing here on the speed, right? The pace of it. And I generally recommend at least one to one recovery, but if not, sometimes all the way up to 1 to 3. So that means if, let's say I run a 200 at around my mile pace, maybe a little bit faster, I want to make sure that I at least have another 200 meters or the amount of time that it took to do that 200. So again, I'm not doing a lot of reps at mile pace. So again, if I'm going out running 200s in 30 seconds, 32 seconds, whatever it is, I'm very unlikely to take 32 seconds recovery, right? Most of the time it'll be between a minute to a minute and 30, because I want to make sure that I'm using that recovery to make sure that I can repeat that process for the amount of volume. Again, as distance runners, we're not training, you know, for marathon runners in our sense, we're not necessarily training for the mile, right? So this work is just designated to help us be more efficient at the top end speed, because that trickles up. These sessions can be done with a standing recovery, can be done with a walking recovery, can be done with a jogging recovery. That's fine. I think either one is fine, given the situation. So, for example, if I'm doing 400s at mile pace, that's a pretty hard run, right? So I'm probably less likely to want to do a jog there, because I want to focus on the speed. I don't want to make it any more aerobic than I need it to be.
Of course.
So for that type of workout, you know, I maybe will just stay around the start line, walk kind of like actively standing, right? Kind of just walking around and giving myself that time, whether it's 1 to 1, 1 to 3, whatever it is that we feel is best to hit that pace, because the pace is important. And then starting up my next repetition.
And I'd like to add on to that, because you painted that picture early on where it was college, right? Where you're on those workouts and you're kind of gasping for breath in between.
Sure.
So as a high school coach, you know, I would assign some of my athletes paces based on what I thought their ability was. But it seems like workout days, they'd want to impress coach, and they'd be coming in with some of these intervals, and they'd be finishing up and hands on their knees, hunched over, really tired, or even worse, like laying on the ground,
yeah,
you know, looking up at the sky, and they have about 60 seconds to get it together.
Right.
So again, hopefully you're not, you know, struggling that hard, but
sure,
if you are doing the standing walking rest,
yeah,
obviously it's a common tip just to walk with,
yeah,
your hands up behind your head to open up the diaphragm.
Sure.
You know, improve oxygen flow. And
yeah. Everything. And these type of workouts too, we're not doing a ton of volume, mm-hmm, right? Not a ton of volume, but you know, you want to make sure that you can repeat it as efficiently and as intact as possible. Right. So again, this type of workout might be pretty hard, right? Mile pace is tough. 800 meter pace is even tougher. You know, that's really hard work. Now, as we talk about this next one, which will be like 5 to 10K type of pacing work, if you're doing 400s at that, you should not be feeling like it was,
right,
you're gasping for air, right? Because that would not be the purpose of that workout. So again, we'll talk about recoveries, you know, just briefly one more time, is that 1 to 3, you know, I'd say if I run a 400, let's say I do it in 65 seconds, 105, you know, I want to make sure that I'm taking at least another minute, 5 seconds, all up to 3 if that's a really hard session. And again, it's time and place is what really matters for those types of sessions. But I typically see athletes, and the athletes that I'm working with, I will recommend that those are walking rests,
okay,
just so that you're not making that any more aerobic than needed. But that doesn't mean that, you know, you stop and piddle on your phone and do those sort of things. That's a no-go. Okay. So the next one will be 5K, 10K work. We're going to call it, you know, power work to your critical velocity type of pace work. Most people, this would be 5 to 10K. Some a little bit more, again, on the extremes. But walk us through what that workout would look like, and then what the recoveries would look like for that as well.
Yeah, I think I gave an example at the beginning of this video related to a 5K workout. But yeah, extending it 5 5K to 10K. If you're doing shorter intervals, typically you can expect if you're holding that that pace, you can probably do a short recovery jog of about 200 to 600 meters. So you should be feeling good enough where you can kind of keep rolling through it. You shouldn't be so exhausted that you quite need to stand. There may be standing recovery if we get into a longer rep, perhaps like an 800 to mile repeat, which you may do for that distance. And one thing I do recommend with some of my athletes, I think it's okay to start off with a like a walk or standing recovery. And then if it's longer, you can kind of ease into a jog.
Yes.
So that way you get the blood flow and it's not so jarring once you start the next rep.
Sure. Yeah. And again, these are, it's like this, all these workouts can be, you know, carved in so many different ways, right? It's, it's endless, you know, but for example, I mean, if you have 200s at 5K pace, like that's not too hard of a workout, right? So a lot of times you can kind of go in and out with those 200s. So if you do a 200 at 5K pace, you're jogging for 200 and you repeat
go back
that
to
way,
the starting point
right?
if you're on the track. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's always, it's important to remember that the goal is not always to run as fast as you can. You know, a lot of times that we save ourselves from risk of injury, we're hitting the right pace work, all that we need to do by hitting that pace, right? So we keep the recovery light, you know, allowing yourself to recover, but not too much. You know, that you're just standing around. Like, we don't need to just stand around for just doing 200 meter reps. But, you know, as that gets upwards in distance, if you're doing 3x1 mile at 5K pace, that's a pretty hard workout. You know, I've done 5 minutes recovery for that before, or an 800 meter jog. You know, I've done both of those. But, you know, again, if you're training for a 5K, and this type of work is the work that if you're 5 or 10K focused, you're going to eventually end up reducing that rest, right? Until, you know, instead of taking 2 or 3 minutes between reps, you're taking 60 seconds if you're training for a 5K or a 10K.
And that's how you check in on your fitness and know that you're progressing.
So. Right, right. You know, but we're talking about marathons, you know, we're trying to, we're going through a block of speed training, some power work that we need to focus on. You know, the goal there is not to really shortcut that recovery, right? We want big recovery because we're just hitting pace. We want to be as efficient as possible. We don't want to reduce, or we don't want to induce any risk for injury. So for this type of work, you know, just like you said, I think it's, you know, you can take standing rest at first. But then from there, you know, I recommend kind of getting in a little bit of jog, you know, if it's 2 or 3 minutes.
When you're running outdoors, hearing your surroundings like traffic and other runners around you is critical to staying safe and healthy. But listening to your favorite podcast or music can also be essential to staying motivated and enjoying those long miles. That's why we are excited to partner with Oladance, premium headphones designed specifically with runners in mind. The unique design of their headphones allows you to listen to your favorite music and podcasts while running, yet still hear everything going on around you so that you can stay safe. But my favorite part is that their open ear design means your ears will never get tired or fatigued, even after 2 hours or more of listening. That makes them perfect for those super long runs. Plus, their dynamic driver is 3 times bigger than most headphones, which allows them to deliver superior sound while still being comfortable. If you're looking for better and safer headphones while you run, there's no better choice than Oladance. To help out, we've locked in a special deal with Oladance for Runners Connect listeners. Just visit oladance.com/RTTT and use the code RTTT to save 20% on your purchase. That's OLADANCE.com/RTTT to save 20%. As you know, two of the most important pillars for everything we do at Runners Connect centers around individualization and science. That's why when it comes to nutrition plans and losing weight, we highly recommend the coaching team at MetPro. First, the science. MetPro analyzes your individual metabolism to get a baseline to see exactly how your body is responding against a very specific set of variables. This means no cookie-cutter diets or formulas. With this personal data in hand, MetPro coaches create your meal plan based on what works for your body, no guessing involved. Your MetPro coach then works with you to consistently make adjustments based on your metabolic data as well as how your plan fits your lifestyle. MetPro coaches are not only educated experts in their field, they're also empathetic to demanding schedules and often stressful lives. They will work one-on-one with you to identify the best nutrition and fitness strategy that is going to work for your personal goals and lifestyle needs. MetPro's team of experts has worked with the most recognizable names in sports, entertainment, and business. They've helped thousands of individuals transform their bodies by hacking their metabolism. So if you're looking for a high-touch experience working with a metabolic expert, or if you want access to the tools their industry-leading coaches use, visit metpro.co/RTTT to take their assessment and speak with their team to learn which option is best for you. Head to metpro.co/RTTT to take advantage of this opportunity now.
But like we've been saying, a lot of this work, it's just depending on how you shape it, right? So how you shape the workout ultimately depends on what you do for that recovery. You know, so tell me, and again, I know you've done some 5K work that you've, you know, recently. And, you know, in the past, it's not uncommon for you to do Ks, right? I've seen you do 5x K, you know, around like 5K effort at altitude with 2 or 3 minutes recovery. That's pretty common.
Ks are tough.
Yeah. So tell everybody, like, when you're doing that type of work, how do you adjust it? Like, personally, how do you adjust the work if it's not going your way? And given we know that you're training for a marathon, so the specificity is a little bit lessened because it's a 5K, but it's still important because it's a very it supports the speed side of your training. Mm-hmm. But tell us how you personally will adjust a workout within the workout itself, whether that's the pace, whether that's the recovery, whether that's the distance. What do you do personally?
You know, in this range, like, I'm actually, well, this is up in there, but I'm debating doing a 5K time trial later this week. So if I'm really focused on the pace there, like, I want to run the 1K at my desired 5K pace.
Right.
And especially being at altitude, I'm going to give myself some leeway. So I've already done an adjustment because we're at 7,000 feet. But then in addition, if I'm kind of feeling off before I change the paces of the intervals, I'll try to extend the rest.
Yeah.
Maybe if I'm at 2 minutes jogging rest, I'll extend it to 3.
Yeah.
And then see if I can hit that 1K at the pace that I want. From there, if you're really having an off day, I might consider shortening it to 800.
Yeah.
And still keeping that pace, because that's really the purpose of that workout usually.
Yeah.
I want to know I can handle that 5K pace.
Good.
I think we'll get onto it later in the video where there are some cases where you want to just totally abandon ship and call it a day.
A lot of people tend to think that, you know, if you're not, they don't want to cut recovery because they feel like that's so important, right? And so, you know, they're going out there and they're trying to gut it out, and like, it gets slower and slower and slower. But what you're doing is a good way where you can manipulate things, right? It's not a bad workout if you have to cut it from Ks to an 800. Right. And it's not a bad workout if you have to move from 2 to 3 minutes. We always have to adjust based on the day. You're not always going to be perfect. It's not always going to be perfect. But for this type of work, I do agree with you that the speed of it's important. Right. So you want to focus on, hey, maybe that was a jog recovery, that becomes a walk. Maybe that was 2 minutes, that becomes 3 minutes. Right. But ultimately, you don't want to be taking 5-6 minutes to do an 800. Right. You want to make sure that the recovery is enough to where you can recover just enough to repeat it, right? Again, anybody can go and run 800s at 5K pace and take 5 or 10 minutes of recovery and do it again, right? We all know this.
Of course.
But we're getting the benefit from the recovery itself.
Yeah, and the last thing before I hand it off to you to talk about the next category, I'd say when we talk about jogging rest, it's okay if it's a shuffle.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
You've been there watching me during some of these 1K reps, and that I have like maybe 200 meter recovery.
Yeah.
And it's really just baby steps, especially elevation. But as long as it's moving, creating more blood flow than I would be walking.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. Cause I mean, if you're just standing there, I mean, things just start to pull. That next rep can feel much harder, right? You start to feel heavy. It feels like lead in your system. You don't want to do that. So again, a shuffle is fine. You know, it doesn't have to be necessarily a distance tailored to it always. But a good, you're saying, just like a shuffle, kind of just keep it moving, blood flow. Perfect.
Good. Perfect. Wanted to make sure we got that across. So you want to tell us a little bit about thresholds?
Yeah. So threshold. So typically threshold is going to be, again, the pace is anywhere from like your about an hour, but you can race for about an hour. And for recoveries, I would recommend that you take a minute per every 5 minutes to, you know, from every mile. For every mile, it would take about a minute. Again, as this is kind of, this bell curves a little bit. So if you, if your mile per 5 minutes,
okay,
versus per mile. And again, this can be adjusted a little bit, but typically you want to stay between 60 and 90 because you just really want to kind of come up and brush up against that threshold, that buffering, you know, buffer that, you know, you want to be able to buffer lactic acid.
Yeah,
you don't want to kind of go over the edge there, right? And it's really easy to do that with threshold work. You know, we've all probably done a tempo run at some point in time and turned a tempo run into a threshold death march. So we don't want to cross that. We just kind of want to rub up against it, say hello, and then kind of reset, and then just keep kind of just this undulation of just working up the threshold pace. That's really going to help boost your endurance, really make you a stronger runner from anywhere from, you know, the 5K to the marathon, I'd say, with that specific type of work. So with threshold work, I always recommend jogging recovery. Again, you're wanting to increase the buffering capacity of waste products, lactic acid in your muscle. So to do this, you want to keep moving. And threshold pace shouldn't be a pace that's too hard. You know, again, if you are working too hard on threshold 800s and the recovery is not enough, you're probably running that too fast. This is one of those workouts that you can entirely adjust the pace. You can adjust the pace. Always keep the recovery. Short recovery, fast acting. Marathon runners specifically should love threshold running because getting strong with short recovery is like the essence of being good at the marathon. So for this, I would recommend always jogging recovery, short recovery, every 5 minutes to about a mile, 60 seconds. So if I'm doing 2 miles, I recommend two minutes of recovery, 3 miles, 3 minutes of recovery, very rarely ever doing 4 minutes because I don't like to do much more than 20 minutes at a time of this pace. And this type of pace work is actually really good when you're integrating it into marathon training as well. So, you know, like we said, you know, you might kind of do some threshold work mixed in with some marathon pace work. You might do that alternating in a fartlek style, which leads me to fartleks, which is the biggest pet peeve of mine. And I'm sure you could say,
yeah, we just talked about this a couple episodes ago, fartleks.
But a fartlek, you're not ever walking.
No.
Always running. Mm-hmm. Every single time. If your fartlek is on your schedule and you're walking, you're not doing fartlek, you're doing intervals. Again, big pet peeve.
Exactly.
But again, we'll move on. Threshold running every 5 minutes to around a mile, 60 seconds. So if you're doing a mile, it's 60 seconds recovery. If you're doing 2 miles, it's around two. And again, anything in between, it can be adjusted. So it doesn't have to be 60. You can be 60 to 90, just depending on where you are. If you're in heat, humidity, that stuff can get adjusted. But for this type of work, you can adjust the pace if that allows you to be consistent throughout. Did you have anything to add to that?
I think you covered it in depth there. Cool. So,
well, lead us into our last definition, which is going to be tempo running, and tell us about the jog recovery there.
Yeah, let's bring it out.
Recovery there.
And finally, to bring it home with the tempo work staple of marathoners, this is going to be jog recovery throughout.
Yeah.
So common one I think of might be like 3 by 2 miles, 3 sets of 2 miles. So you might do that at marathon pace or just a tad faster. A common recovery in between might be 400 to 800 meter jog recovery.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can even extend that up to miles.
You could go
depending on the day,
how much volume you're getting in that day. And
sure. Sure. Yeah. If it's a marathon specific workout, that might be in the middle of a 20-mile run. Right. So the goal might be to get as much volume as you can within 20 miles. So a lot of times we'll have these big recoveries to, again, add that fatigue factor to the legs. So, but we always want to make this jog recoveries, right? Yeah. So one of the big staples of our program, of the Hansen's program, you know, big marathon group, you know, our Jeff actually used to run for Hansen's. So very inspired by him. A lot of our training is. And so he always has like a 2x4 mile workout, 2x6 mile workout that a lot of our athletes will see within their programs.
2x6 is tough.
Right. And the 2x6 actually has 10 minutes of standing recovery. Can you tell us why exactly we would want to, you know, not have that be an active part of our running, because a lot of people in our program will be like, oh, 10 minutes, that's too long. But then they kind of find the level of the workout. So yeah, give us an idea of, you know, those 10 minutes and what we should be doing, you know, in that workout specifically.
Yeah. So this would be one of the few cases where we're actually going to kind of force you to stop. You can either, I believe you can walk a little bit, but we almost want you standing. You may have time to obviously recover, but get some fluid and possibly fuel. But we actually want to create that sensation that lactic acid is pooling. Your legs are kind of locking up. You're going to feel that fatigue. And it really does sort of simulate the later stages of the marathon. So we want to just get you practicing battling fatigue.
Yeah, that's a big one. You know, your body and your mind thinks that, hey, I'm done. You know, if you're sitting around for 10 minutes, 10 minutes is a long time when you're out there. So like you said, I mean, everything you said, you know, rings true. It's just, you know, it's simulating those later miles and making you really tired, so that those next 6 miles, you know, it kind of takes a little bit to get going again.
And a confession to our athletes, I've seen it. I've assigned that workout a lot and talked to athletes about how it went. I don't think I've taken the full 10 minutes in between. Have you done that longer rest? I know I've done like maybe 5 or 6, and even then I lock up. So I'm wondering. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's one of those workouts to where, you know, it's only 12 miles total, which is plenty for marathon training, but that recovery in there really changes the game. So, you know, just to kind of like, you know, kind of wrap things up a little bit.
Sure.
The big thing that we really want to take home here is that a lot of times, whether you're walking, whether you're jogging, whether you're standing, it's all very relative on the type of workout, when you're doing the workout, why you're doing the workout. The purpose of it is important, right? So there, people who are listening have done a lot of these workouts in a lot of different ways, right? But I think the big thing is just to know why you're doing it and how that plays into the workout that you do. That's the big take home here, is that there's no necessarily right or wrong, but there is right or wrong when it comes to the specifics of the day. So again, you could walk one day and you could run one day between your intervals, and those might be both true. Might just be a bit different on how your coach and how your athletes write it and define that day as a whole. I think we've pretty much touched upon everything. I really wanted to just touch upon those five pacing. How can we better ourselves within the workout itself? Because a lot of us just think recovery is recovery and doesn't matter what I do. Whereas that's actually a big part of the workout itself. Was there anything that you wanted to add that maybe we didn't touch upon at this point?
I think I did. I might have referenced that when to bail on a workout.
Yes.
And just completely not do it. So I think you're going to know typically when those days are happening. You might just find out from the first interval at the get-go that you're not going to be able to do it. Maybe you've played around with the rest intervals and kind of are adjusting the workout.
Yeah.
And if you don't have it, you know, there's no shame in just jogging off the track or wherever you're doing that workout, either making it an easy run or taking the day off.
We've all had plenty of those days, right? And I think the more intelligent, the more experienced we get as runners, the more likely we're going to make those decisions and call the day, you know, versus making it worse. You know, you were talking to me before the podcast and, you know, we were talking about how some athletes, you know, they want to do it the next day. You know, and can you expand there a little bit? Like, when you would you have an athlete do it again the next day if they had a failed workout? What would you do?
Typically, no.
Yeah.
Often I do think it's a matter of pride. They're like, and I get that because I felt that way. You want to go back in there, hit the times that you're supposed to, or maybe you have that mentality that, no, I always have two workouts per week. I need to hit the two workouts. But in that case, sometimes you just got to move on from it. You're only going to have one workout that week. But in this case, it would really be quality over quantity.
Yeah. Yeah. Training doesn't always, you know, it's not just what we lay out on the piece of paper, right? Things are always going to change. Nothing ever goes as designated. You know, I was just talking to you today about how often I'll write schedules for athletes for 6 months, knowing that you know, that's not the reality of training. You know, there's ups and downs, there are changes that have to be made. There's, you know, that's not just training related. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when it comes to a workout like that, one of the best things to do, you know, as you said, just forget about it, move forward, focus on the next one, get rest, be better the next time out. And a lot of times if you do that, it will be better the next time out. So again, we're going to wrap up today. Thanks everybody who's listening on podcasts and people who are watching and listening on the YouTube channel. Really appreciate your guys' continual, you know, feedback as well as, you know, viewership. It means a lot to us and allows us to kind of be excited to do these every single week.
I actually had a request from some viewers who wanted some notes and annotations in the description. So I'm going to try to start adding those. It's also helpful for people who might listen to this on the podcast. So if you liked what you heard and you're like, oh, I want to remember the ratios that Coach Dylan mentioned, you can go to our YouTube channel, watch the video there. And then if you click in the description, I'll have kind of bullet points of the key takeaways. So you don't have to kind of keep trying to find that spot where we talked about the thing you wanted to apply to your training.
Awesome. Cool. So extra work.
Yeah. Right. For me.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, great. Well, thanks everybody for joining today's podcast episode. I hope you were able to gain something informative and something, you know, valuable that you can put towards your training moving forward. So again, this is Uptempo Talks here with Runners Connect. I'm Coach Dylan Bellis.
I'm Coach Rory Moynihan.
And it's been great speaking with you today. Until next time.
Have a great run today.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. I personally found it hugely helpful to understand the variety of rest intervals and what's involved, including the ratios of work to rest and the types of rest, which range from jogging for a minute to just standing there for up to 10 minutes. Absolutely fascinating. What were your takeaways? Share them with us in the comments section of this episode on either Facebook or Instagram. Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast. I'm your host, Finn Melanson. As always, our mission here is to help you become a better runner with every episode. Please consider connecting with me on Instagram at WasatchFinn and the rest of our team at Runners Connect. Also, consider supporting our show for free with a rating on the Spotify and Apple podcast players. And lastly, if you love the show and want bonus content, behind-the-scenes experiences with our guests, and premier access to contests and giveaways, then subscribe to our newsletter by going to runnersconnect.net/podcast. Until next time, happy training.